Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business.
Right, it's Inside Your Business here on Kaya Biz. And we are going to be speaking to Vuyani Jahana, the chair of Startup 20, in just a moment. Mr. Jahana, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All right, it's Nzinga and Gugu here. Yes. If you can just take us through your role as chair of Startup 20 and what you do.
Thank you very much. I've been leading the Startup 20 engagement group since April this year as part of the G20 engagement group. It focuses on policy changes that needs to be, or policy recommendations that needs to be adopted by the global leaders, the G20 leaders, as they meet over the next 2 days. So looking at what policy changes needs to be put in place so that startups can actually be able to flourish, and also to promote global entrepreneurship, which talks to SMEs, startups across the G20 footprint. So we've been working with the international committee comprising of various countries in the G20, looking at what was done in India, what was done in Brazil, because this work group, its engagement group, is relatively new. It's in its third year in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We look back and say what was achieved, but also we start to say what more can be done to actually advance the interests of startups and make sure that the world, the global entrepreneurship flourishes. We know that SMEs and startups are the entities that are creating new jobs today at the highest rate across the footprint. So it's important to create an enabling environment, and we wanted the global leaders to look at some of the recommendations and make some decisions.
Maybe if you can just take us through what some of those recommendations were.
So some of the, in terms of the approach, we adopted five themes in shaping our own approach and thinking as a group. The theme number one was around foundation and alliances. We were looking at policy, the instrument, the enabling legislation, whether you look at accelerators, incubators, the enabling policy that needs to be in place to ensure that that we can create a foundation for startups to exist and to grow and flourish. That was number one. The second task force was around market, trade and market access. We all know that one of the biggest challenges facing MSMEs is around access to market, which is a very, very critical thing, because if you address access to market and also address what I call production proficiency, the skill to produce quality product, we think that global capital will flow into this sector. So trade and market access is super important. The third area is investment and finance. The fourth theme was around inclusion and sustainability. And of course, we were focused a lot on the fifth theme around township and rural enterprises. So those were the five themes. And then we worked through them with the international community, with different groupings. There were no less than 15 people working on each of these themes. What the recommendations have come through is specifically is around creating a digital enabled trade platform that allows MSME products to actually be rendered in different countries across the G20 footprint, but also we call it the startup passport, where startups and MSMEs will be recognized, and then you'll have a specific trade dispensation in terms of tariffs, so that you treat them very, very differently in different corridors. So that's one of the recommendations. Obviously, the other recommendation that has come through clearly is around driving the scaling up a blended finance structure. Not much about loans, but driving technical assistance and enablement, so that when people are producing something, they can be supported through the journey of the ideation right up to where they can actually succeed in selling products and services. At the center of all of this is digital infrastructure that enables MSMEs across the length and breadth of the country, of the G20 footprint. That we're calling for accelerated investment so that you don't leave the MSMEs behind and ensure that startups can flourish in a digital economy. So that's kind of the three big ones, but there's quite a lot that are more South African nuance around the thinking around looking at businesses owned by people with disabilities. We know that often when you talk about the industrial zones, the industrial zones or economic zones that has got special benefits, we tend to think about geography. We are saying we have to think a little bit differently around people who are manufacturing, running businesses with disability. They run in their own backyards. How then do we create a policy enablement that allows them to get the same benefit as if they were in an industrial zone? Are you with me? Industrial development zone. So, I think these are some of the things. Some of them are quite local in nature, but the top three are quite international in application.
Got you. Tatu Chakana Kukuletu here with Nzinga. I'm intrigued because there's the fundamental pillars that you've shared as the recommendations do have points of intersection with various other task forces and initiatives that are being driven under the G20. And I'm quite keen to understand if there is an area of collaboration, a heightened level of partnership to actually, you know, find a unified approach to solving for many of the challenges that you've highlighted, specifically when it comes to startups and entrepreneurs.
So I think the big part of the benefit is that obviously there's been a cross-pollination of ideas in the build-up of the recommendation by each engagement group. What I've seen is exactly that alignment across the engagement group, B20, SU20, you name them. What that does, it helps us with the adoption of the declaration, which means that if there's an adoption of the digital infrastructure investment at scale, even though for MSMEs there may be some nuances in terms of reaching out the far-flung areas or different corners, the areas that are outside the main cities, so you already get the one big idea, a big declaration that the presidents can make. So the advantage of the similarities or the overlaps, it talks to because these are cross-sectoral interventions. So what it does, it just helps us with the adoption of the declarations, because then it becomes a nuance within that declaration. So it's all positive. Some of them we've been engaging with B20, attending the same summits with them. But I think it's a positive thing, because there's not much difference. It's the president shouldn't struggle to adopt some of these recommendations.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to find out, when it comes to the overall theme of G20, it's solidarity, equality and sustainability. I know that also guided you in terms of the work that you were doing, the themes you spoke about earlier on to Google and I about policy and the like. How do you, and I like that you used the word align a little bit earlier on, I wanted to use it, how do you align those concepts with the very practical ones that you've come up with in terms of the recommendations and the work that needs to be done?
So I think the first thing, the broad principles that the South African presidency has adopted, it created a framework for engagement. Remember, this is there's multilateralism in dealing with this. There are different interests. The countries are endowed differently. The priorities are different. Even with the SU20, you have a number of recommendations that are in place. So you have to get the ones that are supported by most countries. And you go through an engagement process. You have interim summit where you share ideas. You've got the process to synthesize some of these broad themes. But most importantly, you also start to vote for this and in terms of prioritization. So when you do that, the platform then around solidarity and sustainability becomes very, very important as a guiding platform, so that when we disagree, we still go back to them and say, but this is the principle, this is how we need to be together. We need to move beyond country interests in terms of endowment. We look at how do we drive a much more a bigger agenda for the world through the G20 program. So they helped a lot to calibrate, to help us intercede where there would have been differences, but we go back to the frame and said, look, these are the guiding principles. So are we still within those principles? So they were quite useful in that regard to get us where we were. We ended up as an engagement group.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, when it comes to the thinking around such a almost Herculean task, you need to make sure that those recommendations, as you've said, apply globally, and also because it's on the African continent, in the South African context, I know you spoke about disabilities there as well. Who do you interact with in terms of institutions, private companies and the like, locally and internationally, to get to the point where you've whittled down your policy recommendations and what actions you think should be taken?
So I think the first part that was important for us is recognizing that, or reaffirming that it's a first G20 presidency in the African continent, and also having a deep appreciation of the unfolding, the shifting landscape, or mm-hmm. what needs to change in terms of how Africa is being viewed by the, or maybe the global South, and Africa in particular, is being mm-hmm. viewed by the world, and the need to shift from looking into the continent from an aid lens to a point where you're looking from an investment mm-hmm. and trade lens. Mm-hmm. And this, we were saying that it ought not to be done out of sympathy for Africa, but also the developed world ought to do it out of self-interest as well. We know that there's a lot of young people whose lives get lost into the Mediterranean. Europe has an issue of immigration. Mm-hmm. But actually, if Africans were able to have working, functional and effective and thriving economies, people want to stay home and they go elsewhere because they're looking for opportunity. So that is the first broad theme around inclusion and sustainability. Mm-hmm. But of course, we have to work with the, we are running fortnightly meetings with the international secretariat. We also bring in knowledge partners, some of them were academic institutions, to actually bring in some perspective into what we're discussing from a business and entrepreneurship point of view, but also mm-hmm. some of them were consulting firms were prepared to actually give their time and insight into the work we do. So when we finished putting together the recommendations, the first draft, because we're too much in it. So at times, familiarity can jaundice the eye. So we had to bring in an external person who was not involved in it to actually review and critique, so that we can come with something where we believe it's not too sophisticated, but it deals with the issues. So for example, some of the things that we feel strongly about is the whole thing about the international trade, enabling MSMEs to actually have access to international trade mm-hmm. using digital platforms. I mean, companies like, for example, there are companies already in this, which we need to replicate and scale. If you look at Amazon, for example, their trading platform, they have the ability to enable local MSMEs to actually produce and trade their wares in locally. But also mm-hmm. if you qualify, then they can accredit you to start getting into some of the international countries. But what we need then to overlay there is a special trade dispensation, which we're asking the international leaders to adopt. And we think that the platforms like that needs to be scaled. We see those international companies as catalysts for the development of trade for MSMEs, but we also think that there is a need to be more deliberate and not rely on large-scale private sector players. So that's the extent of engagement we had to go through with the task forces to make this work, to get to the recommendations.
Mr. Chakana, there is so much more we could explore with you, given your expertise in corporate, state-owned entities in South Africa, being a consultant, driving the development of entrepreneurs themselves. We certainly wish you all the best and hope that the outcomes and recommendations shared by Startup 20 will not only be well-received, but also be implemented fully. Thank you again for your time this evening, sir.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Vuyani Chakana is the chair of Startup 20. As you've heard, yet another think tank and, of course, a task force that has been able to share recommendations with the president to ensure that we contribute to our G20 presidency. And I believe, Nzinga, you know, as we've been having these conversations, I've been reading quite a lot of the recommendations. And as you can, there's a heightened level of intersection between many of them, whether in finance or infrastructure, education and upskilling or digital transformation. Yes. And even what we see with the Startup 20. Mm-hmm. already. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's really refreshing that, as has been mentioned, sometimes you don't need to recreate a new solution. Mm-hmm. You know, work with what we've got, but evolve it to actually meet the needs of the changing landscape that we find ourselves in. And maybe I highlight this because as a South African, I've typically been asked, but yeah, you guys always have these airy-fairy conversations. If you would relate, right, Nzinga? Yes. Because you've been to the World Economic Forum before.
No, people are always like, oh no, we're having another conference. What's going to come out of it? But there are tangible outcomes that come out of things that are hosted in South Africa, not just the international events that we do, but the local ones as well. And the importance of dialogue. Mm. I mean, even as a South African in our context, the reason that we have, one of the reasons that we have democracy is because people said, let's just chat. Besides, you know, disinvestment, boycotts and all of that. But conversations are so powerful and they can lead to so much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what we also need to be mindful of is that typically it does take time, but this is ultimately what shifts policies, shifts perspectives as well, so that people within boardrooms and in certain spaces can actually think about things differently to say, hey, that's not how it should be done. Or let's try it this way. Or let's partner that way. So as a South African, for anyone who might be frustrated by the traffic, who might just be looking at
the traffic's not that bad.
It isn't.
They literally closed a road. I have a friend who was traveling and they were like, oh no, I thought it was going to be chaotic. Even on Saturday they were saying, oh, you know, there's going to be, people were sending WhatsApps, I was having a bra on Saturday, and people were like, we're not coming because the roads are closed. I was driving up and down Jan Smuts, no problems.
Wow.
So it's really not. And I mean, it's a once, as Talia was saying earlier, it's in a once in a generation event.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic was not so bad. There's worse things to be inconvenienced by.
Exactly. Nzinga, this has been fun. If there's anything I appreciate, is how you
like
always
leaving. Okay, I'm ready to go host B20 tomorrow
after some sleep.
I must tell you, there's some scripts to read through. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Like, we're so proud of you. It's so incredible seeing you on a stage that's beaming out to a global audience of something so important.
Thank you so much.
Good luck tomorrow, and all the flowers coming your way are so well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
We're going to carry
wait
on
until
the show.
I tell the world.
I'll try and look after your show, you know, for the next 44 minutes. In just a few moments, we're going to be speaking to the CEO of Southern Sun. I know in the conversations we've been having about B20, there's a lot of optimism that's taking place. And I think for looking at the results, there's also optimism on Southern Sun. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.